That is very familiar music, you guys. I'll tell you what, Strewman here, the Four Outdoorsman. Welcome, everybody. It's Sunday, 6 o'clock on Bob FM. Have a lot of fun tonight, man. We got an in-studio desk, a desk, or a guest.
We have both.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Brandon, we talked about this. Brandon's behind the glass here, of course. I'm 5'7", 156 pounds. I've got three guys here who total 19 feet, 6 inches in height. The smallest guy in this studio besides me is 6'4". It's going to be an interesting encounter. I got to look up to talk to you boys.
It's all right.
Yeah, well. Steve, welcome to the Four Outdoorsmen, pal.
Thank you.
Say your last name for me.
De Los Reyes.
De Los Reyes. Uh-huh. You don't roll your R, though.
I'm talking to white people right now.
Welcome, buddy. I tell you, we had you on, was it last week or the week before?
The week before.
Yeah, and we didn't have enough time, and you could tell stories left and right, and you could be here for 2 hours, 3 hours, and never hear the same story twice, because you are the real deal. I'll tell you what, that Steve is here. We got Sam, Mark, Lukey. Say hi, boys.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah.
How was your week? Now, you guys, you got a couple of deer, right, Sam?
Yeah, we did. Well, first of all, we hunted together. We did our Four Outdoorsmen on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Get anything.
Nobody saw anything.
Nope. And then Wednesday, we saw some deer Wednesday.
Yeah, we saw a lot of deer. You shot some deer.
Yep. Mark, how many did you see?
I saw probably about 10.
Yeah. And then, go ahead.
So we figured out they're coming in the evening.
Evenings, for sure.
So we sat around day one, didn't see much. And I had to leave right before dusk because I had a parent-teacher conference.
Where's your priorities, man?
So I missed, you know, the bulk of the traffic, but stayed around all Wednesday. Saw probably 10 deer across the field. And we talked about this before. This is my first time hunting with a shotgun. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting in your food plot, and a bunch of deer came through about 100 yards away. Then I pulled up the bead. And the bead is bigger than the deer that I saw. So I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to launch cannonballs across a field. But it was really fun to see him. I saw a buck crashing around.
Yep, it was a good buck, around, too.
So it was a lot of fun to just watch that. And I'm glad I didn't shoot, because right after that, I hear blasting coming from your stand. So I think they would have cleared out if I would have started launching them.
Yeah, so it was actually a fun. So my wife, about 1 o'clock, texted me. And she goes, hey, can I come and sit with you this afternoon? I'm like, absolutely, like, come on out. And so I said, just bring snacks. So she brought a couple Monster Energy drinks and some candy bars. We came out and she sat, and it was for some reason at this property I got, this new property, they don't move until an hour before sunset. Like,
yeah,
there's no morning deer, never. And so yeah, we saw a few deer right away, and you know, we were talking about whether we should shoot him or not, and I was like, let's just wait. And all of a sudden, this behemoth of a doe came out of this part of the property I call the safari, because it's like that real thick, like, bushes. It's really tall. And she came out, and Kirsten's like, shoot it. Let's shoot that one. So I opened the window of the blind. I shot it, and it was actually a farther shot than I was expecting, but thankfully we made a good shot, and she died ethically and fast. And then all of a sudden another
ethically, it's an ethical death, what the hell.
Yeah
it's a good term.
That's better than your term a couple weeks ago. I think it was legal. And then another doe came out. Kirsten's like, I want to shoot that one. So I handed her the gun, she shot that one. Another doe came out, she handed the gun back to me, I shot that one. So we were 3 for 3 in about 2.5 minutes.
Now, you talked about, Steve just bought himself a brand new duck boat, and this guy's living first class as well. He bought 40 acres last year, and his in-laws bought 40 acres right next to him. It's in East Bethel, not too far away. And they've got these deer hunting stands that you could watch Jack Benny for 3 hours, man, and never be uncomfortable. It's got
Who?
A heater. Jack Benny.
Yeah.
He's a heater.
Jack Benny.
He's got a heater. He's got everything in there. It's just like, it's you can do anything you want in there. And if deer walks by, open the window and blast him. But that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You deserve it. You work hard, you deserve it.
Thank you. The one thing I like about these blinds is I used to make fun of my wife's uncle, who he would send me a video. He's got a wood burning stove of his, and it's like he's got a table. It looks like a buffet line of candy. I'm like, that's not hunting.
Yeah.
I bought one blind. I'll never go back to a ladder stand. You know what the one thing I love about them, though, is it gets kids into hunting. And it gets people who aren't big hunters into it, because it's more comfortable. The kids can move around a little bit more. You can whisper a little bit. I mean, that's what I like about it, is you can bring anyone hunting.
Now, Steve has hunted his entire life. How old are you, Steve?
48
years old. He's been
You're
hunting
48
for 48
years old.
48 years old. Yeah. Looks good, doesn't he?
Very good.
But I tell you what, I've been hunting most of my life as well, 50 years give or take. And last week was the first time I ever went into a ladder stand, and it's on my son Mike's property. And he told me where it is approximately. I found it. My son's got 125 acres in North Branch, and so I've been out there the last couple weeks. And I see this tree. It's breezy like today. I went up there. It can't be more than 12 feet, maybe. I don't know what it is. I felt like 40, and I was not comfortable at all. It wasn't for me.
It's not like my stand, that tall one I have?
No, that's not even as tall as yours. Yours is crazy. This guy, 300 and some pounds, climbing this ladder to stand on a little 3-foot square metal thing is not my idea, pal. When I fall, it ain't going to heal real quick.
You're the ideal size.
Go ahead, Steve.
When I think of you in a tree and you're as tiny as you are, I just don't Keebler elves.
Like, yeah. He's making shoes.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are inside the tree.
That's about it, man. Yeah. If I shot a shotgun from up there, I would still be flying probably. But no, I'll do my steel hunting. I'll walk and stalk and walk and stalk.
You know what?
It worked, man.
You proved to all of us you don't need no stand.
Yeah.
And you don't need a grunt call. You have the God. Yeah. God gave you a grunt call right here.
No, did you bring any stuff?
They're in the truck.
Okay. Well, during commercial, we'll go out and get it.
Okay. Grunt call.
I'll do a contest with his grunt call.
A contest? How did I get into a contest?
You'll win. Don't worry.
No. We've got Doug Glimmerveen on, I think is right. Is that how you say that? Right. He's going to be our first guest at 6:20, and then at 6:40. The rest of the show is going to be all Steve here, and he brought in some antlers. Going to try to teach us a little bit about rattling and the little grunt calls and those kind of things. Talk something about hunting and all that with Steve here. But I actually think I did grunt the animal in. I think that's kind of cool.
There's nothing better than when you can actually influence them. That's the thing I like about waterfowling is that you have such an influence with them and you can change their mind. With deer, a lot of times, you know, they're basically A to B and you're trying to be in the way or where they like to eat or figure out their patterns and whatnot. But when you rattle one in, then they stick their head up and then they come running in, and they're looking like, what's going on in my area? There's nothing better than seeing one that's – he's pretty upset too, so he wants to go for it and fend off his little area because those are his does. And that's when you wind up getting into a pretty cool deer that's – and he's grunting and snoring, hitting the ground and, you know, doing all that kind of stuff. So it's a lot of fun to have a rattle go.
You know, I've hunted all my life up in Ely, Minnesota. You do what your dad did, you know, and he teach. And back then in the 60s and early 70s, it was all be very, very, very quiet and none of this rattling, none of this. You know, they never heard of that. And I read about rattling, and I never had the guts to do it because I know my old man would make fun of me because you have to be quiet in the woods. And I still have never really done it. I'd like to try it. Because now that I'm at my son Mike's place, is so close, and Sam's place, it'd be kind of fun. Just even if it's not deer hunting season, bring him in. You know, you do that? Can you bring him in? That's kind of fun.
I changed gears on it. I used to use the two racks that would rack together, but they were so cumbersome. And I also was a little bit leery about if you hunt public land and you're carrying a rack through the woods. And there's been some.
Well, you're not supposed to carry them on your head.
Really? Yeah. Well, maybe that's wrong. No. But so then they have these little rattle bags.
And that's what
you
I
can
use.
Keep the bag. And I like the bag better than I actually like the big racks because I feel like I have more control of them. And then I can muffle them with gloves and whatnot, so
yeah.
I can temper the volume if they're too loud.
Yeah.
Just this last weekend, I had a buck that was coming in, and my daughter was getting a good look at it, but it was about 45 yards, and she was a little nervous to take a poke at it. And when I did that, I rattled it because it was walking away, and it actually picked up and started to move faster from us. So then I stopped, and I grunted, and it turned back to us and was staring at us. It held up at about 70 yards and didn't want to come in, but at least we saw what the response was. It wasn't ready for the rattle. You know, so then I think in a day or two after that, I rattled, and all of a sudden that we had three bucks in around us. So.
Now, do you have to do that only when the rut is on hardcore, or you can do it any time in a buck will defend his territory?
You're going to find that even though the rut is on, they're all hitting and missing at different times. So you're going to have a buck that chased a doe pretty hard and now is going to lay down and kind of take it easy for a little bit because he just chased this doe all around till he got it. And then now you have another buck that's kind of infringing on the area, and he's coming in smelling all the smells, and he's like, whoa, what did I miss? There's a party here. And then when you rattle shadow, all of a sudden that guy will come in, and the guy you were waiting for, because for me in particular, there's a 10 and a 12 in my area that, like I said, he's 3 o'clock and he's having a good time in front of my cameras, but he wants none to do with me during the daytime. But you can see he's putting in some work. So, and the does are moving. So now we wound up having an 8 come in, and then a couple sixes and whatnot. So
I've always loved the, you know, analogy. It's like a college party where the seniors get the women, and then it goes down to the juniors and the sophomores and the freshmen. Yeah. That's kind of like what he's saying, yeah. You know, like that buck that Mark sat in one of my blinds Wednesday, and that buck was held up on the tree line, and I sat in that Thursday, and I saw the same set of deer. And
yeah.
I was grunting at this and wheezing at this buck, and he was ticked that I was there, but he would not step foot into that field.
Yeah.
And he was stomping, you know, wheezing, grunting, hitting his head up at the branches. And that was the one time in my life I wish I would have had a decoy, because that buck would have came out in a second if he would have actually saw a deer. But yeah, it's crazy what they can do, and it's awesome. That's why I love elk hunting too, going out west and hitting a bugle or a cow call and hearing this 1,000-pound animal scream its head off. It sends shivers down your spine.
When you see them that close, that's what sends shivers down your spine. They're right up on you in a heartbeat. And ironically,
you didn't hear him either.
Yeah, this like small vehicle just went up the entire side of the mountain, and you barely heard anything. And next thing you know, it pokes its head. Whoa! Hey,
yeah,
there it is. And
it's crazy how they can be so quiet too.
Yeah. Yeah.
You were talking about doing the calls for duck hunting. I've only duck hunted a couple of times in my life. A friend of mine's got a camp in Detroit Lakes area.
Yeah.
It's right in the flyway by Lacla, whatever it's called.
Lacparl?
Yeah, someplace up in that area.
Lacla.
And whatever it is, you know, I do the show for a living. That's what it's all about. But so I've been up there a couple of times with these guys, and these guys are hardcore. I love working, watching the dogs work.
Yeah, that's
and when fun. When I was there watching the dogs work and watching these guys literally do different calls, they each had like 3 or 4 different calls on their neck thing, you know, and they're bringing these things and watching
their
watching their neck thing, you know. Yeah. And I think it's legal. But watch, all of a sudden the birds, the ducks are flying the wrong way, and they start calling, and they're coming around. That is really, your heart starts beating. That's pretty cool to watch.
When you follow the migration, you'll get different tones. When we hunt here in Minnesota, we're getting migrating birds of smaller flocks before they congregate. When you get to Oklahoma, they're all smart birds that have been shot at all the way through the flyway, and now they won't sit anywhere near a fence row or a tree line or anything like that. They'll go and they'll funnel down into the middle of and you'll see thousands, you know, 10,000 in the field's not uncommon, and then they don't want anything to do with you, so you have to literally go sit on the X. And then these guys that are doing all the shows and whatnot are paying the farmers to not necessarily hunt there, but to have you not hunt there. And that's the hard part, because I take my family. I'm just, I'm taking my kids hunting. That's how I want it. And I don't want to pay, and I also don't want to, like, not do the hard stuff. I want to do the legwork. I want to do all the setup. And it's actually, you know, you're taking 4 kids and 2 dogs down to Oklahoma in the middle of winter right after Christmas, and you're in the middle of nowhere. And, man, it's and we just we've been doing it for so many years. We make it a lot of fun, but it's a thing. So the difference in what you're saying is calling a few versus calling a ton. It changes, like your whole perspective has to change. It's like hunting a herd of deer versus a deer.
Yeah, okay. Well said.
What's the temperature usually in Oklahoma when you go down there?
Here's the best part. You get down there and they're freezing, right? It's 55 degrees, and they're like, man, we got a cold snap. It's going to get down to 40. And you're like in a windbreaker and some sweats, and you're out there. And they're like, you are crazy. One time we went down there and there was an ice storm where the power lines went out, and the lady goes, you don't have to stay here. We don't have electricity. And we're like, I got all my ice fish and stuff in the truck.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys need anything? Because we're going to barbecue real quick. And then yeah. And like, you have a barbecue? Yeah, we got a barbecue. Like, doesn't it? Wait. Oh, yeah, we're Minnesotans. We're much more hardy when we're surviving the winter up here.
Yeah.
Right.
Does your entire family hunt then?
Yeah. Like, all my kids, they're really good. I have my one daughter. She's the killer. And then my son, he'll go. My other daughter, she's not a shooter. She wants to go for the coffee and donuts and the camaraderie. My youngest, she's still new to it, so she doesn't even know what she's getting herself into yet. But it's been like that for the whole family. And my uncle, my mom's side, they're all big waterfowlers. So we've been hunting coast to coast, and then border to border. So,
good for you. Good for you. How did you you got involved really young as a hunter and fisherman as well? And where did it start, from fishing or hunting? What was first?
I think fishing, because it was easier. You know, I could do it by myself. I would go down to the canals. I was in Arizona. I had a little rod and reel. I'd go catch a crawdad, and I'd throw just a basic setup on, you know, and then I'd just cast it out there, and the catfish would come through, and you'd catch a lot of channel cats that were in that, you know, 6 to 10 pound range that were. That's a good fight.
Yeah,
know?
It is.
And then all of a sudden, I started to figure out where to go to get the little bit bigger ones, and then I started to refine it. And then my uncle, who got his first bass boat, I wound up getting really hooked on bass fishing, because the amount of action and everything's warm water down there. There's a lake in Yuma, Arizona, that's called Lake Hotellin, and the average temperature is in the 90s. So it's terrible to walk into. It feels really disgusting because the water is just slimy, and that's the first place I caught my, you know, back-to-back 7-pounders. I caught a 10-pounder in there, and it's all frog and buzz baiting, you know. And
wow.
When you get that first
it's all
one,
top
all,
water
it's
stuff.
Over.
Oh,
it's,
my Lord.
Yeah, it's over after that.
Yeah.
So
it's almost like doing muskie fishing. People say once you catch one muskie,
oh, yeah.
You're hooked.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you've done that as well?
Oh, that's what made it when I came up here, like, wait, there's bigger fish? So that immediately got me on the muskies. I was fortunate enough, I'll show you guys pictures in our break, but I was fortunate enough to find a local lake that was giving up some pretty big northerns. And now I don't keep them. I just want to get good looks. But in 2 days last summer, we wound up getting 4 fish over 40.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and that was all just...
Don't name the lake.
Name it and tell us exactly where you go.
Big Lake.
Okay.
I'm telling everybody the same thing.
Yeah,
go to
yeah.
Big Lake. Go ahead.
Yeah.
See you later.
Like, yeah,
you won't see me there.
I tell this story when my old man, when he retired, moved up to Ely, Minnesota, and the last 20 years of his life was up there, and he got cancer, almost died. Doctor says, you got time, go back up to Ely. He was down here for like 4 or 5 months, went back up to Ely in September of 1990, it might have been. He caught himself a 13-pound, about a 12.5-pound walleye. Biggest one in his life. It's like God gave him one more chance.
Mm-hmm.
So my old man brings it into Ely for the annual weekly fishing tournament, and he won a 3-pound can of Folgers coffee. And he told everybody he caught it in Lake Vermilion and not a chance.
Yeah.
He caught it on Armstrong, I can tell you that. But no.
My kids think it's amazing that we will be actually hunting ducks, and we'll stop somewhere and they'll be like, oh, you did really good. And where'd you guys go? And I'm like, you really ask people that out loud in front of everybody? Like, what are you doing? Like, any real good waterfowler or anything like that, unless you're hunting private land like deer, like that's my 40. You know, that's how you tell them. But if you're duck hunting, you're like, oh yeah, like, well, I was shooting just outside of Big Lake or Becker. I don't care where I was. That's where I was. You're sure I was on some sort of river or swamp or something.
I love that little Facebook video of this kid. It's like a 5-year-old kid, and says, when my buddies asked where I shot the big buck, and this kid's like, I think then we took a left, and then we took a right. Then we went 100 yards, we turned around, we came back 80 yards, we took another left, yeah. And it goes on for like 45 seconds.
That's accurate. Yeah. That's accurate. My daughters love that because they do the same thing.
Hey, we're going to be right back. Got to wrap it up, take a break here, and we're going to be right back with Doug Glimmerveen. He's with SmackDown Outdoors.
Checking in with the 4 Outdoorsmen. Find them at mybobcountry.com under the weekend tab.
Hey, Strewman here for Devil's Lake Tourism. It's not a secret that Devil's Lake is known for fantastic fishing, but now is the time for you to double up with your annual Cast and Blast. Devil's Lake is also known for some of the best bird hunting in this country, so hey, you can shoot a few pheasants in the morning and maybe catch a few walleyes in the afternoon. That, my friends, is just about the perfect day. Hey, bring your fishing rod, bring your shotgun, bring your family. For more information, simply go to devilslakend.com. Hey, and thanks.
There's nothing like a good cup of coffee to start your morning off right. My family and I choose Operator Coffee, not only because it's packed full of flavor, but it's brewed for service. Portions of each bag are donated to a few different nonprofit organizations that bring veterans into the great outdoors. Operator Coffee offers 6 different small batch roasted flavors. Whether you like light, medium, dark, ground, or whole bean, they have it all. Check it out at operatorcoffee.com. Oh, did I mention it's roasted here in Minnesota? Operatorcoffee.com.
40 years ago, Dave Gens had an idea that would change the sport of ice fishing. The Fish Trap Flip-Over Portable Ice Shelter, providing protection as well as mobility to anglers. Today, the concept remains, but the original clamfish trap has evolved. Made with premium thermal fabrics, heavy-duty tubs, and easy-to-use pole systems. After 40 years, there's still only one original fish trap. Watch the full story at clamoutdoors.com.
What does that Ski-Doo feeling sound like? Whoa, dude, I love that thing. Oh, that was awesome.
Hey, let's go again.
Yeah, it sounds a little something like that. And now you can get that Ski-Doo feeling during our Yellow Tag event. On now, visit Power Lodge in Ramsey and get up to $1,500 off select 2020 Summit A50 E-Tech models. Offer ends October 31st, 2020. Restrictions apply. Customer offers vary based on creditworthiness. See dealer for details.
Tis the season of camping, boating, and fishing, and you don't want to be left out because your trailer's broken. Crystal Welding in Maple Grove can fix it and get you back to the outdoors. Crystal Welding offers a wide variety of services, including welding, maintenance, and repairs for all types of trailers. Crystal Welding is your one-stop shop for all of your trailer needs. Go to crystalwelding.com for more information. Crystal Welding. Solutions. Service. Results.
Crystal Welding gets the job done. No jobs are small because we do it all.
Hello, this is Tom Lyons from Minnesota Military Radio, and I have some profound thanks to give. We were able to replace the roofs of two Minnesota service members with the shingles provided by GAF, and the hard work of A-Team Construction, along with help from Bob FM and Havens for Heroes in Anoka. It's our way of saying thank you and making sure our Minnesota military families are taken care of. You can continue that mission by visiting beyondtheyellowribbon.org.
Get a $35 certificate to Aurelio's Pizza in Ramsey for only $19. Limited quantities are available, so head on over to dealsonradio.com.
Deals on Radio.
T-Mobile for Business knows saving time and money is important for your business. That's why we're introducing Microsoft 365 on Us, now included in our best business plans. With Office apps, Microsoft Teams, cloud storage, and more, Microsoft 365 on Us gives you the tools you need to run your business. Stop by a T-Mobile store today. Qualifying plan required. Contactless activate. One license per line. Max 2 per account. Third-party terms apply. See T-Mobile.com for plan details.
At the Home Depot, get Black Friday pricing now through December on great gift ideas for any doer on your list. Like a Ryobi Impact Drill Driver Kit for just $99. Was $129. Save on top tools, appliances, the latest in smart home tech, even holiday decor to light up the living room or bring joy to the neighborhood. Black Friday savings, in-store, online, store-wide. Gift-giving, improved. From the Home Depot, how doers get more done. U.S. only, while supplies last, see store for details.
Total Country Bob FM.
And we're back with the Four Outdoorsmen. Welcome, everybody. It's Sunday night, and our first guest, our first call-in guest anyway, is a good friend of ours. He's been in studio. We've talked to him many times. Doug Glimmerveen. Doug, are you there, buddy?
I am. Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you just great. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, you reached out to us and have a great idea about a virtual ice fishing show because all of our favorite shows are canceled. Why don't you give a little background on your idea and talk us how it started developing?
Yeah, basically, we've actually been working on this about 3 months. It's myself, Patrick Olson, and Dale Luganbill. All three of us have podcasts. Mine is the SmackDown Outdoors podcast, Patrick's is the Lone Angler podcast, and Dale's is the Full Scale Outdoors podcast. And we were actually going to have a booth at the St. Paul Ice Fishing Show, teaching people about what, you know, what podcasts are, helping them subscribe and listen, and then interviewing people while we were there. Well, the closer we got to the show, we kind of were like, I don't think this is going to happen. What's the plan B going to be? And one of the three of us just kind of said, why don't we just do it virtually? Just have everybody, you know, all these different companies join us via, you know, virtual conferencing, and they all get a certain, you know, set amount of time. And so we started thinking about things and kind of working it all together. And basically what's going to happen is December 4th, 5th, and 6th on the SmackDown Outdoors podcast Facebook page and the SmackDown Outdoors YouTube page, Starting at 1 o'clock on December 4th, we're going to have Clam, Northland, Aquaview. We've got 50 vendors that are going to come in for 25 minutes apiece, show you their new products, show you their old products, answer your questions. So if you're watching, you're going to be able to actually ask questions. They're going to be able to answer them right there for you. A lot of them are going to have show specials, some deals. We're going to have some giveaways, and it's going to be a good time.
Hey, Doug, Stru Man here. How are you doing? Thanks for being on the 4-Outdoorsman.
Hey, Stru, thanks for having me.
You bet. I'll tell you what, I listened to one of your podcasts today. I listen to them every once in a while when I'm just biding my time, and it happened to be a recent one with Chip Lear. That was pretty recent, right?
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, he's a great, great guy. As a matter of fact, we've had him on the show before as well, and I gave during your show, I gave him a call, and I said, Chip, Stru Man here. And I said, I'm listening to you right now, and I just wanted to say hi. He's a good, good guy. So you picked the right guest, I'll tell you. He's got a hell of a career. Like you, he's a Hall of Fame guy. You're a Hall of Fame guy, right?
No, Hall of Fame guy. I'm not that old, Stru.
Are you a master? You're a master.
I've caught a couple of Master Angler.
There you go. That's what you are. Yep. That's what you are. Anyway, talking about the podcast, and then you got to the virtual ice fishing show coming up, which is going to be really, really cool. How do you track how many people are going to be participating and helping, you know, following this whole thing? This is a 2-day, 3-day thing. This is quite a thing you're putting on. It's a lot of work.
Yeah. Well, we're not going to know how many people actually watched it until we're done. What we are doing is it's actually going to be four-hour blocks. So if you tune in at 1 on Friday, you're going to be able to watch a four-hour block and then come back at 6 p.m. On Saturday, we've got one starting at 8, one starting at 1, and then one starting at 6. And then on Sunday, one at 8 and one at 1. That's, you know, the how many people are going to be watching it has been the question that's been flying around everywhere. The vendors, the sponsors, you know, just us talking about it ourselves. We have no idea. It could be 10 people. It could be a million people. We're not quite sure yet. You know, so after each block of 4 hours, we'll be able to see how many people watched it live. And that's really what I'm kind of interested in, to see what the response is due to the fact that basically every show besides, I think there was one in Wisconsin and then the one this weekend in South Dakota, you know, people aren't really being able to go anywhere and buy much stuff and see things. So that was kind of our whole goal in this, is just get out as many companies as we possibly can to show their products. We've got big ones. We've got Clam. We've got Northland. We've got, you know, small ones, Cats Covers and Flame King. And then we've got brand new ones, Seasons Tackle, you know, and it's just a way for us to try to give everybody as much information as we can and help out every kind of business, from the big ones to the small ones, because the small companies really, really, really need your help right now because there's no shows, and that's where they make a lot of money. So for us to be able to get some of these smaller companies and kind of some of the unheard companies is what we're going to be really – I think we're going to be really proud of, to help them recover some, you know, as much financially as they can from not being able to go to these shows and sell their products.
You know, I tell you what, I listen to your podcast, and your media terminology has really improved since I listened to the podcast, because on your podcast you said this show is going to be produced in like four-hour chunks. Now they're four-hour blocks. You're doing better, man.
I call them blocks. I call them chunks. It just depends on how fancy I'm feeling.
Did you have to turn companies away to get on this thing?
I do have a waiting list right now.
Really?
And I'll just kind of throw this out there. If you have a ice fishing related company, please get a hold of me. We'll put you on the waiting list just in case somebody last minute cancels, or we have a problem getting them on or whatever. So if you got an ice fishing related company and you're not already part of it, please send me an email or go through the Facebook page, send us a message, get a hold of me. We'll put you on the waiting list. But we've got about four or five companies right now on the waiting list. I wish we could fit them all in, but you know, time, you know, can only do it for so long here and there, and maybe the next time we'll make it a full 3 days instead of starting at, you know, noon or 1 o'clock on Friday. We'll start at 8 o'clock in the morning on Friday. But I have a full-time job, so you know, I've got to take care of that first, of course.
Of course you do. We're talking about Doug Glimmerveen. He's with SmackDown Outdoors. He's helping run, I guess, the SmackDown Outdoors 2020 Virtual Ice Fishing Show. Are you ready for this thing? I mean,
I tell you, the closer we get, you know, it was a big rush in the beginning to get all the companies signed up, get them all the information that they needed and emails and this and that and the other. And now that we're basically set, the next week and a half isn't going to be too bad. But that, you know, that week of Monday through Thursday is going to be pretty hectic, sending out the links that they'll all have to join us through and double checking and triple checking to make sure everybody knows exactly what's going to happen. But right now I'm just kind of enjoying relaxing, you know, taking it easy, just kind of fine tuning a couple things. But I'm excited for it. I think it's going to be a really good time. I think we're going to have really good good numbers as far as how many people are going to view it. You know, it's one of these things where you don't have to be there to see things. You know, I mean, the Ice Fish and St. Paul show gets 20, 30,000 people in the building. Well, you don't have to be in the building to watch this. And you can watch it afterwards. It's going to be on the page from here to, you know, the end of time. So you'll be able to go and watch it whenever you want. And what we're going to do is we're also going to take each, you know, four-hour block, Stru, and we're going to cut out each company. You know, we're going to edit out each company and then post each company individually as we go throughout the season. So if you didn't catch a certain company or you don't want to sit through the whole 4 hours, you can wait until that certain company comes out. We will come out with a schedule the week of every company, what time they'll be on. So if you just want to tune in for one company, you can just tune in for that one company if you want to, or come and go as you please.
You know, it's crazy how that sport has grown in the last 10, 15, 20 years or so. We've had an opportunity to do a broadcast, live broadcast at the St. Paul Fishing Show at the River Center a couple of times. Almost every year there's 500 people lined up outside to get into this thing, and it's jammed every day. I just can't picture how some of those businesses who rely on shows like this can survive. I mean,
that's been the biggest thing throughout this whole COVID thing. On my podcast, I've talked about it. Support your local business, support your local tackle shops, because those are the ones that are really going to hurt from not having these shows. You know, companies, you know, like Cat's Covers, Amped Outdoors, I mean, they're doing okay, but still, all these small companies, that's where they go, and they make 90% of their year is in these shows. Because they get tens of thousands of people to walk by their booth and see it. Otherwise, most of those people might have never heard of their company. So it's been, you know, I've really tried to push support your small, you know, your small businesses. The big ones, they'll be fine. They'll make it. They've got plenty of money to promote and everything. But your small businesses are the ones that are really suffering from this whole COVID thing. And, you know, I'm just trying my best to help them out.
It's funny how the talk starts from every season, like whether it's from early fishing to fall hunting to ice fishing, because right now one of our guests in studio right now is Steve De Los Reyes, and he's a huge hunter and fisherman, and he's bow hunting right now. And Steve shared that he was saying he's, as soon as bow hunting's done, he's all set to go ice fishing. You got all your stuff packed, all ready to go, right?
I have everything ready to go. I'm actually thinking about even switching on my game a little bit with an electric auger this year instead.
Me too.
Yeah, I've seen some things, and then making it mobile, and that you can punch that many holes with it, especially with that early ice. You know, you can really cover some ground and really, you know, chase them around a little bit more than typically where you're messing around with the other. And I don't mind my old one, but I think I've seen some pretty efficient ones, so I think I'm going to try that.
And I'm guessing, Doug, he could find a nice new auger at this virtual ice fishing show, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've got Ion, we've got Razor, we've got, I think, one or two other ones joining us as well. I can't quite. Eskimo with their pistol bits joining us. So, yeah, you'll definitely be able to check out all the, you know, electric options at the show.
All right, tell us again where people can find this, what the hours are, what the days, and what it all includes, and we'll wrap it up and let you go.
All right, SmackDown Outdoors Podcast Facebook page, or the SmackDown Outdoors YouTube page, December 4th, 5th, and 6th. You can tune in at 1 or 6 o'clock on the 4th, 8, 1 and 6 o'clock on the 5th, and 8 and 1 o'clock on the 6th.
We're gonna try to help you out as well. I'm sure Mark will be able to post something about this. And
yeah, we'll share it as it happens for sure. And why don't you give our listeners a little info about your podcast as well while we got you.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate you guys helping me out here. It's called the SmackDown Outdoors Podcast. You can tune in. I stream them live to our Facebook page every Tuesday night at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. I've actually got Joel Nelson joining me this Tuesday, so that's going to be a great talk. We'll probably talk a ton of ice fishing and bluegill and crappie. But you can tune in there, and then we're also streaming it at the very same time to the SmackDown Outdoors YouTube channel. I started going to multiple destinations when we're live streaming. We talk hunting. We talk fishing. We talk all sorts of stuff. We just sit back and have a good time for a couple hours with the guest and, you know, try to teach you something. And, you know, that's about it. We just have a good time.
If you want to have an abbreviated version of your show sometime, maybe 5-10 minutes, give Strewman a call. I'll tell you everything I know about hunting and fishing. We'll get you out of the real quick, pal.
Strew, I just got to get you on the show and just let you go, because I know you can probably talk for 2 hours by yourself.
Yes, he can. I can.
Confirmed.
Confirmed, yeah. Last time I went deer hunting with Sam last week, and he brought duct tape for me. And I don't know what, I'm not exactly sure what it was for. But
it was twofold.
We all know what that was for.
Doug, take care of yourself. Thanks for all you do, and I'm excited about seeing how this progresses. It's going to be a fun event. Hope everybody makes a lot of money, and you serve a lot of people. So thanks for doing what you do, friend.
Hey, I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Take care.
See ya.
Well, that's got to be a hell of an undertaking. I mean, I don't know where you would even start.
Especially for the first one. You know, like the first one, they're obviously going to learn a lot. But, you know, good for everyone's been thinking about something like this, I'm sure. So it's really good that he did this and kind of grabbed the bull by the horn. So I bet a lot of people will support him just because of that, because they all have that idea.
Marky. Should we do some shout-outs?
Yeah, let's do it.
Well, thanks, everyone, for writing into the shout-out page. If you want to get your name on the radio, comment on our shout-out page, and we'll read it if we can. First off, we have a couple great pictures here. Jesse Koskinimi says, Chase got a 10-point. I shot an 8. It was a good season. Great time with my favorite hunting partner. Our friend Craig Rudolph Jr. says, filled out our party Friday with this little buck and doe. John Marshall says, daughter's first year in deer camp. Next year, she's going to do the hunting. And Bill Katz of Katz Cover says, no deer this year. I feel your pain, Bill. I did not shoot anything as well. But at least I didn't have to clean one.
That's got to be a country song, doesn't it? I mean, somebody who didn't get a deer again.
Didn't
you know, I share your pain. What's, you know, it's like, you know.
Deer, turkey,
Steve,
I'm
you
cursed.
Got anyone, you want, anyone listening you want to shout out to?
Actually, it's my clients. I'm a tattoo artist, so my clients basically have built me from ground up, and I can't thank them enough. There's too many of them to name one or two. But
name your favorite.
That ought to get me isolated.
We'll talk about your business as well, because I don't know much about the business, but after looking at the records and how busy you are, you have to be one of the top tattoo artist parlors in the entire state of Minnesota by far. You have to be. And that's within 10 years. So that's quite a jump, whatever you've done. So it's
we try to value ourselves at the highest level. We want to make the experience as not traditional as possible. We want it to be more of I'm going into a sports bar and going to watch some TV and just kind of relax and have everything kind of like spaced out the way it is. Look at that tattoo.
I got a tattoo, pal.
The size of a thumbnail.
It's my tattoo. SP, and Diana knows what SP stands for, don't you, Sugar Plum? Hey, we're going to take a break right now. We're going to be right back with, who's next?
Our studio Steve. Guest.
Hey, I'm
already?
Next. Already? I was first and next.
Be right back. You want to be socially distant? Well, Devil's Lake has nearly 170,000 acres. It's been rated one of the top 5 fisheries in all of the United States, and for good reasons. Yep, the fishing itself is Devil's Lake's biggest lure. You get that? But what also keeps bringing vacationers back are the friendly people, the service, the hotels, the restaurants, the outdoor opportunities, the city itself. Hey, trust Strewman on this one. Bring your fishing rod. Bring your family. Devil's Lake, North Dakota.
If you happen to drive by the Bob FM studios on Sunday night, you might notice a sweet new Ram 1500 sitting in the parking lot. Yep, that baby's mine, and I got it from McKay's Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram in Waite Park. Sam here for my friends at McKay's. Ram trucks are built for the outdoorsman like me and my family, and there's no better place to get yours than McKay's. Visit McKay's in Waite Park just west of St. Cloud or shop online at McKaysDodge.com. Even my family loves it.
We love McKay's.
40 years ago, Dave Gens had an idea that would change the sport of ice fishing. The Fish Trap Flip-Over Portable Ice Shelter, providing protection as well as mobility to anglers. Today, the concept remains, but the original clamfish trap has evolved, made with premium thermal fabrics, heavy-duty tubs, and easy-to-use pole systems. After 40 years, there's still only one original fish trap. Watch the full story at clamoutdoors.com.
Tired of losing your valuables down the ice fishing hole? Our friend Bill Katz with BK Outdoors LLC has the most simple, affordable solution on the market. Katz covers are a strong polycarbonate hole cover you can stand on and fish through. Your phone, electronics, keys, kids, and pets can now be safe with this simple solution. Go to katzcovers.com. That's KatzCoverz.com. Made in Minnesota, a veteran-owned company. You can order yours directly or visit one of Bill's great retail partners to get yours now.
If your furnace or AC rolls over, it's time to call the top dog, Dazeal Heating and Air Conditioning. With fast emergency service, when you call, we come running. Our experts are well-trained and lead the pack in residential furnace and AC repair and replacement. We always listen and work to assure your family's safety. Plus, easy available financing means there's no runaround. Dazeal Heating and Air, the homeowner's best friend. Serving Wright County and the West Metro. Online at DazeelHVAC.com.
Power Lodge is the official power sports dealer for the four outdoorsmen. Open water season is winding down, but that means it's the best time to get great deals on new 2020 boats in stock. New 2021 Lund, Alumacraft, Lowe, Ranger, and Godfrey boats are arriving weekly, which means it's time to move out the 2020s. Save thousands on new 2020 boats during our model year-end sales event. Going on now at all Power Lodge locations, Brainerd, Ramsey, and Onamia.
Uh oh, are we on the air?
Yes, sir.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Strewman here, the Four Outdoorsmen. I was in getting my decaf coffee.
He was flexing in the reflection of the mirror.
I was doing,
tattoo.
Yeah, all 5'7". Hey, welcome back to the Four
everybody.
Outdoorsmen. Shut up, guys. I'm talking here. Sam, how you doing, buddy?
Good.
Who's our guest?
How are you?
You say this better than I do.
Steve Delaros. Delares? Delaros.
No,
that was terrible.
Delaros.
Just the R, man. Just the R.
Steve, thanks for being here, man. Took the time to come in.
Yeah.
This has been a lot of fun. And let's talk about your deer hunting season so far this year.
Yeah.
You've gotten four deer. Your family's gotten four deer.
Yes.
All right. How many can you get?
We're in the three zone, but my daughter, she shot her youth, and then she got the bonus tag, so yeah. That, and then same thing, in our area, you can buy a bonus tag, so that's what we did, and one of each, they're nothing crazy. I'm gonna see how a muzzleloader lines up for me, with the duck hunting and all that stuff. Right now, I'm already switched over. We got our deer, so now I'm ready to go to duck hunting. And we only got a couple weeks left, and the water's freezing. And those are usually my favorite hunts, so those are always the good ones.
But you're still going to you sent us a picture, a trail cam picture of a monster buck in the area that you hunt. You're still gonna try to check him off the next couple of days, aren't you?
You know how it is. You can't, say no. You'll go out there and check the cams, and you'll say, wait a minute, he was here during the day?
Yeah.
I'll be here tomorrow.
Yeah.
And that's how it works. So then they'll spark that up. And those cameras are great and bad at the same time, because they'll have you, out there traipsing through the woods and doing all that stuff when you got other things to do, And
I have a good buddy. He's down in Red Wing, which is obviously, he produces huge whitetails. Uh-huh. And for years, I love trail cameras. I have way too many of them. He got to the point, literally, I think 3 or 4 years ago, where he threw them all away. Yeah. Because he was so caught up on chasing one buck that he had on camera. He passed up a lot of shooter bucks.
Yeah, I do.
And then that one buck was hit by a car, and he didn't know it. And so he was like, I'm done. He threw every single trail camera away.
He
could
have gave him to me.
I'm sure he gave him to his son or something. But then he went right back to how it used to be. And
funny story is I was chasing a 12. I saw him. I was walking to the car last day of the season one year, and he ran right by me, and I was with my daughter, and he just – he was out in the middle of this weird place.
Did you run him over?
No, ironically, that's you're foreshadowing. So then I was like, okay, I'm going to get back in there with my muzzleloader, and I was talking to the farmer, and he's like – and he calls me up, and he goes, Steve, hey, you know that big deer you saw? And I go, yeah. And he goes, it's out on the road right now. And I go, really? And he goes, yeah, a dump truck hit it. A dump truck. You know, with the rattling, like, shovels and everything. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, man, how defeating is that where I can't even sneak up on it, but a dump truck does? Oh, I'm terrible at this.
Yeah. What was that, Sam? We had that guy from, I think it was Kansas, who shot the world record 380-point buck, whatever. Had the real funny rack on it. And we had him on the show, and it was a great, great story, and someone text or send a message in right away that says, this is so cruel. How do you do that to such a beautiful animal? And Sam said something like, well, you want him to wait 3 weeks before so he can hit by a car? And one of those things. Because eventually, if they're that old, they're going to die.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just part of life, you know. It's the circle of life.
That was actually pretty nice in my headphones.
Mark and I sang that to my wife when we shot those three deer. But yeah, I mean, it's either, you know, age gets them, or pack of wolves, or, you know, pack of coyotes. Just part of life.
Or a Corolla. That's how it works. When I talk to my daughter, my youngest, when we start talking, she understands that harvesting meat in order to keep the numbers at a sustainable rate, but we're not there doing anything like this isn't a bloodlust or a thirst or anything like that. It's actually harvesting meat, learning survival skills, learning all those things, passing those traditions down, also the time you get with your family. It's irreplaceable. Honestly, it is. When you're sitting in a tree stand 99% of the time is staring at one of these squirrels that's shaking his tail at you, and he's making it just a rough day on you. And then you're watching all these birds that are migrating through, whether it's the geese and swans flying over, or it's the other, like, you know, seed eating birds, like the
Tweety birds.
I like that. I tattoo, so every bird has a name now.
But you're also a duck hunter, so you understand the Tweety bird comment.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Good. Absolutely.
Hey, speaking about the duck hunting, when you follow the ducks, the migration down to Oklahoma, right?
Yes.
And my son, you talked to my son Mike. And my son Mike, these guys know my son Mike, and he was saying, you know, he said, I would like to go someplace like Oklahoma or someplace down there and just spend a week down there, just spend the money and do get all the ducks, but not use a guide, go to on public land, and share what you would tell him, Mike, about you're going to go down there. It's not as easy as you think finding public land to hunt.
Yeah, first off, the flocks are thousands. So you're seeing them like they're on TV, but you're also there. You know, if you don't own a companies like some of the companies that are, you know, able to stuff a trailer full of, you know, and we hunt over 27 dozen full body decoys. That's a lot. That's
27
dozen.
That's about that's about an hour and a half of five of us setting them up, and that's getting us all set up. And we have all these, you know, the stakes and the full bodies and all the other silos and everything that we have to put up. And it's a lot of work. So we're traveling down with a 20-foot boat with, you know, 10 dozen decoys in that, and then you have a trailer full of all of our ground stuff. Because when you find them, you have to hunt it. So if you're hunting the lake, because there's a reservoir down there that's public, those guys, they're not really awesome about showing you any sort of local customs, because you have a Minnesota license plates, and, you know, they like, what? And they call us Eddie Bowers, so, or Blue Platers. So you're like, okay, whatever. And then the fields, they're leased up and locked up. So, and then when you do get the X, you have to have more birds on the ground than there are in the air. And that's just the rule of thumb. So when they're coming in, you have to see, you know, they have to see a show, and you are,
wow.
Yeah. And they're still very leery, because it's a flock of no less than 50 or 60 at a time. And that's, you know, 100 plus eyes that are scouring for any, because they've been shot at all season.
And how many can you take back?
Well, you,
two.
You know, you have you eat them all. No, but we shoot our. You can shoot your legal limit, and then you have your.
What is the limit down there?
Well, it depends on the year. They switch it up. Ducks is six every year, and okay. It depends like four mallards and whatever. But and then when it comes to the geese, like depending on the year, sometimes you can get 15. Sometimes you could get like you know upwards of 30 white geese, and because the tundra take a hit 1 year. More than the other because of the temperatures and whatnot. So
wow,
so,
that's a lot. Yeah,
yeah. You and you will have cooler after cooler. And you, the hard part is you have to leave a wing on it so that you can identify it, which isn't a bad thing because you know you want everything to be on the up and up. But at the same time, it takes up a lot of space when you could just breast them out. You know, and so you wind up having to do a lot of extra bringing extra stuff for you to just be able to haul your load back. And that's a lot. And there's a lot of locals there. That actually like them too. So some of the farmers will ask for some of them. So that's
sure, I imagine.
Cool. Yeah, because they smoke them and whatnot. So it's good.
How many days do you go down there?
The hunt is 5 days. So we'll go down for seven. We'll get there. We'll scout and we'll do a hard scout and then we'll do like I've been going there for close to 15 years. So before it was cool and so.
You're just like washing your hands?
Yeah, right. So I have a bunch of farmers that let me hunt. And the cool part is I've actually run into some pretty big names down there where we set up our decoy. This is a good story. We set up our decoy spread 27 dozen.
And 324.
You have, man, that's good.
He's pretty good.
So we're setting them up, and we found where the X was. We put up our blinds. We're on the tree. I got my kids with me. I got the heaters and the whole nine yards and the dogs, and we set up, and all of a sudden this truck comes out there, and it's got a big, huge logo of a very popular decoy name. So they come out there, and they go, hey, you got to get out of here. And I'm like, whoa, no. And he goes, yeah, we leased this place. You got to go. And I'm like, sorry, sir, but I've been hunting here for over a decade. And he's like, nope, I'm calling my boss. So his boss shows up, who's the actual name on the truck. And he
was it Tony Vandermore?
No. So and he comes out there and he goes, I talked to the farmer. He says, you got to go. And I go, no, he didn't. And he goes, yeah, you have to go. And I go, no, he didn't. I'll call him right now. So I call him, and I go, hey, I'm out at the field. And he's like, cool. Is you seeing anything? And I'm like, the guy that owns the truck with this name on it. And he goes, really? He goes, I told him that my nephew hunts it and Steve. And I turn around and I go, so did he tell you who could hunt here? He goes, yes, his nephew and some guy from Minnesota named Steve. And I point at my truck and I go, I'm the Steve. And then he was like, he's like, well, if you guys are cool with it, we'll take our decoys. And I'm like, oh, the tone changed. Yeah, like, and he was cool and about it. He actually gave me a couple calls, and, you know, he's a pretty well-known caller.
And you're not going to disclose who that person was?
No, he was actually, like, he was a nice guy after the words. But it's such a business down there. It changes. It changes that, like, because they're trying to, like, hustle their money, and that's their livelihood. And I get it, but for me, that's my tradition. Yeah. So it's the same thing for me. I'm paying a lot of money that isn't going to his pocket. It's going to, you know, like towards making sure my kids got $400 waiters, you know, and both of them. So like, and then mine and then all the others. So we're stacking up some money pretty fast too, you know, driving all the way down there. So
well, next time you go down, you'll have Mark and I with you, and then Strew will be able to talk these guys out.
No, you can put me right in the field like one of the geese and ducks, and I'll just be out there doing my thing. But no.
I won't bring my dog. You can just retrieve him.
I can do that. Yeah, I can run like a son of a gun. I can outrun Sam.
We'll see.
That's
we'll
not
see
saying that. Much.
We'll see.
We got a foot race? 40,
hey, I'll tell you what.
40 yard dash.
40. Do you eat everything that you harvest?
I do.
Get
up,
boy.
I do. I started my kids really young. So like we figured out how we like to cook them and how we like to. So they're pretty used to. It's just like, you know, Ma's hot dish now. Now when you get it, you know, I'll take the breasts, and then I have a couple different ways that I cook them, and they really like them. And
what's your favorite?
My dad's Mexican and my mom's Swedish, so obviously she won because of my red beard. But but she the best way to do it is a combination of the two. My grandmother would do it in a crock pot with Coca-Cola and whatnot, you know, so then it breaks it down. I didn't know it can eat a nail, but try it. It's pretty disgusting. But I put it in a crock pot with Coca-Cola, and then when it gets to a certain point, it starts to shred up and fall apart anyways, and then all the, like, potatoes and all that stuff kind of soak up the game. Well, I'll pull it out, and I'll shred it up real good, and then I'll roll it in and tortillas and taco.
In what?
Now he's talking like a Mexican kind of guy. Pues, yeah, whatever. Yeah.
What's up? I usually roll it up in tacos, and then we'll eat them like taquitos and that kind of stuff, and dip it, or we'll just wrap them in bacon.
You're talking right up my wife Diana's alley. We have no idea what to do with this deer. We're gonna grind it up next week with Sam, I think, and make it into all kinds of stuff. Hey, let's talk deer hunting, you brought some stuff in for us. We've never rattled. Someday we're gonna rattle. Show us how to rattle, and are there different types of rattles, and when do you rattle a deer, and how often do you rattle?
Okay, so you're acting like I'm a professional at this, and I am not.
But no one knows that. You can lie on radio.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is Strew.
They can't see you.
For everybody listening, this is Strew's idea. I actually had a nice rack that I would work on and try to get – I couldn't get a rhythm with it, and I couldn't sound like multiple. And when you hear some of these guys, like, I'm a good duck caller. I'm not a great goose caller. I'm good enough to get geese, but I'm not a great one. There's some guys out there that are amazing. Go to the Armstrong Ranch. They're in a – oh, boy, those guys are good.
Yeah.
When it comes to this, I took the same approach. Like, I wanted to sound like these were going at it, like,
right,
they're going hard at it.
Right.
Because I tried to do it all soft and like finesse it, and now I just, it's the volume levels, like the contrast. You go from kind of like a, like when they're just engaging, to kind of like a harder hit every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like it really pisses them off. Can I say that?
Yeah, you can.
You just said, yeah.
Okay, so it really pisses them off. So that's so that's how I went about it. And I didn't know, it was trial and error. I've done it and they've ran from me, and I'm like, oh, what? Don't do that again.
Yeah.
You know, and then other times I've done it and they come in and they're just, they're really pissed. You know, they want to go. So that's the way it
now
goes.
These aren't antlers he's going to use. What do you call this thing?
It's a rattle bag.
What it's called.
Yeah, and I've gone through a few of them. There was one that was in a actual bag. These are like rubber, and the pieces are like kind of plasticky looking inside, but
yeah,
they have holes drilled and they're all different sizes. So that's what they look like.
What's it sound like? Basically. That'll work.
Odd came in.
Yeah, that'll work.
Your neck got bigger.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
So
that was good.
How often do you rattle? Do you rattle after you see a deer, hear a deer, or just rattle every 10, 15 minutes or whatever?
I'll go the first hour or so in the magic hour in the beginning and try to see if I see anything moving. If I see something that's kind of hanging up, or I could see it walking in the tree line over there, I'll hit it with like a subtle rattle and see if there's any response. You'll read the body language if you can see it well enough, and they'll either start turning or give you a look, and then they'll go away from you, or they'll like look over at you with a lot of interest. A couple years ago, I had a deer that I rattled and it went away, and then another one rattled and it went away, and then the third one came down the hill, and they were all going to like this little bird feeder behind this house. And I didn't know, like, if I could get him out of there. And all of a sudden, I rattled at the third one. He ran to the right, and I couldn't see him. And I was looking for him. And I got on my binocs, and I was looking all over the place. And I looked close, and he was 60 yards. And he closed a 210-yard to 60-yard in, like, no time.
That's amazing. That's a thrill.
Yeah. And it was like, whoa. And he's pissed, and he's huffing, and he stops, and he's staring right at me. And I'm like, uh-oh. Give him a gun up.
Show us a grunt or two. All right.
You show us a grunt. No, I've heard already.
We don't have enough time.
Okay. The grunt is it's just a basic.
Don't do that grunt until he does his grunt.
Thank you. Thank you, man.
Bud.
Is that a cow?
Sounds like your frog gigging.
Yeah, what's that? Yes. Yeah. I can do it better in the woods.
Yeah.
That's not sound like me.
Okay. Yeah,
basic.
I personally like Strew's better.
I personally did too, just because the face he makes when he
it looks like he was trying to eat the mic too.
Man,
what kind of call was that? Are there specific calls?
I think this is the on sale kind.
No. Like, I mean, what does it mean? Say, hey, I'm a guy and I'm waiting for you, or is that a lady looking for a guy?
That was supposed to be the trophy buck setting.
Oh, so, like, that's all you need.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
So it doesn't
work.
It
brings in the little ones. Yeah,
it's how do you determine psychology. Whether you're going to grunt or rattle?
Honestly, when I see them and they're not interested, I know I have nothing to lose. So then I'll rattle and see if they like turn and like, huh, what was that? And then if they turn and then I'll give them a grunt and they're like, nope. And they start flicking their tail around. I'll go back to the rattle. You just read them.
Let's talk ice fishing.
Oh, we gotta go.
We're going to go. Where's the first lake you're going to go ice fishing this year?
Big Lake.
Big Lake.
Hey, thanks for listening to the 4 Outdoorsmen, everybody. We forgot to talk about our sponsors, but we love you guys. Without you, we don't have a show. In the meantime, Mark's got something to say.
Get outside and make some memories.